There is an outline on the back of your bulletin if you'd like to follow along with the lesson. Titled it, Things That Are Better Than Sacrifice. Or we sacrificed, but when sacrifice doesn't stand alone, there's things we need to accomplish and add along with it. So point number one, you put in bold print, there's some things that are more acceptable. Point number two, you see those same words, something is more than. Even in number three, Hosea 6 verse 6, more than. The same with the fourth point, more than. And number five, this also, and is better than. And then number six, the sacrifices of God are. And then the last one in our text that was read to us this morning, Samuel said to Saul, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. So we're going to look at some things that are better than sacrifice. I've listed seven of them in our notes this morning. So when you think about sacrifice, it's something that's good, necessary in that Old Testament worship, even New Testament. It's needed. However, there's something that needs to be added to it. There's something better. Sacrifice just doesn't stand alone, it seems like. So in our point number one in Proverbs 21, verse 3, to do justice and righteousness is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Ooh, sacrifice is good. That's right. But something is better or more than. There's something that we need to add. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 9, verse 24, let him glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, which exercises loving kindness, judgment, righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, says the Lord. I thought the Lord delighted in sacrifice. Wanted that sacrifice, didn't he, in the old law? Oh, Israelites, this is what you need to do sometimes every day. Sometimes there's an annual sacrifice, there are those feasts. So something needs to be added to our sacrifice. In other words, the lesson is, brethren, don't be satisfied with just your attendance. Well, you probably made a sacrifice to attend, made a sacrifice to be here. Oh, I pray. Yes, that's good. I attend a Bible class. Yeah, I strive to do that which is right. I make sacrifices all the time, but oh, there's something more, huh? Something more than sacrifice. Proverbs said, do justice and righteousness. To do justice. To do. There's an action, isn't there? To do. That means there I need to treat each other rightly. I need to do sacrifice. You know, Jesus in the end, I put in the introduction in your notes. In Matthew 23, verse 23, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. Oh, woe. He calls them hypocrites. But look what they do. They tithe mint, anise, and cumin. Well, that's good. That's a good thing. Uh-oh, the next phrase. You've omitted the weightier matters of the law. Judgment, mercy, and faith. These you ought to have done, and then kind of an oh, by the way, but not to leave the other undone. Oh, you see, there's something more than just sacrifice. There's something better. Don't be satisfied with just your sacrifice alone. In this first one, things that are better or even weightier, was that justice, mercy, and faith that we need to do. The second illustration is in Mark chapter 12, verse 33. The scribe has summarized the two great commandments that are given by Jesus. And so he says, the scribe answered, and to love him, meaning God, love God with all your heart, with all your understanding, all the soul, all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself. He said, the scribe said, it's more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. Something that's more than. Two great commandments. Now love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and strength. Love your neighbors yourself. But if you don't have it, that's better. That's more than. Don't eliminate the burnt offerings in the Old Testament. Don't eliminate those sacrifices. But Paul explains it this way, that we need to love God and love our neighbor. But Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1, he stresses this importance. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. Oh, that's pretty good, isn't it? Oh, but I don't have charity or love. I'm a sounding brass, a clanging cymbal. He gives another illustration, Paul does. And though I have the gift of prophecy, understand all mysteries and all knowledge, I have all faith that I can move mountains. That's pretty good. Oh, but if I don't have charity, I'm nothing. And he adds another illustration. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, oh, that's good. I give my body to be burned. You only do that once. But have not charity or love, profits me nothing. You see? You can have all the sacrifice in your life, but without this added ingredient, and in this illustration on point number two, it's love. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. In other words, put your heart into your sacrifice. In our Bible class this morning, the psalmist was saying, I love to go to the tabernacle. I long to be attend the tabernacle. Yeah, we need to be here, and I'm here, but did you love this morning when it came time to leave the house? Oh, that's right. It's time for assembly. As David said in Psalm 122, verse 1, I was glad when it came time to go to the house of the Lord. See? Don't just come. Don't just make the sacrifice of the journey. Be glad. Add to the sacrifice. There's more than just sacrifice. The third illustration is in Hosea 6 and verse 6, the next two, verses numbers 3 and 4. But Hosea begins, for I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offering. Oh, the first one's mercy. You see, it was easy for Hosea's people to offer sacrifice and then go their way. It was easy to make the sacrifice, and they had the attitude of, let's just do the minimum, or let's do this and get it over with. It was almost like Hosea's people that he's preaching to gave it a checklist. Okay, I did that. I'm done. I'll call you the next time I need to make a sacrifice. Hosea said, no. God desires mercy, knowledge, more than the burnt offering and the sacrifice. Don't be satisfied with just your attendance, he's saying, for us today. Don't be satisfied with just that occasional prayer. Okay, thank God I got that out of the way. I'll call you again when I need you. Yeah, we make the sacrifice, but now we need to include mercy. God wanted them to love mercy. Don't just be satisfied with coming to the altar. Think about others. There's an aspect of not just the altar there and the sacrifice. Now I want to live the life I'm supposed to live that gives glory to God. Remember the words of Micah, Micah 6, verse 8. What does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. There's more than sacrifice, isn't there? In Micah 7, verse 18, Micah said, "Who's a God like unto you? You pardon iniquity. You pass by the transgression. You don't retain your anger. You delight in mercy." Ah, something more than just that sacrifice. I need to be merciful. Mercy. James says in James 2, verse 13, "For he shall have judgment without mercy to him that showed no mercy." Sacrifice, yes. Make your journey. Say your prayers. But in this illustration, God delights in mercy. Add that to your sacrifice. Number four is still in Hosea chapter 6, verse 6, because he adds mercy and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. See, those people in Hosea's day, and Hosea's the prophet, he's the preacher, he had a problem with the people of the land because they were limited or didn't want to have any more knowledge of God than what they had. So in Hosea chapter 4, Hosea is still preaching. In Hosea 4, verse 1, Hosea told his congregation, "Hear the word of the Lord." Yeah. All right, now sit up and pay attention, he said. Listen up. Yeah. "Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. The Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land." In other words, there's a problem with the congregation. "Because there's no truth, no mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land." So he says in Hosea 6, verse 6, knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. In Hosea 4, verse 6, he said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." You think you shouldn't study God's word? Think your attitude is, "I have enough knowledge. I don't need to know anymore. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." See, there's something more than just that attendance. There's something more than just saying our prayers. There's something more than just that occasional sacrifice we give to God. Knowledge of God is more than the burnt offering. It's more. Better. It's weightier. Don't leave out the sacrifice. Be sure you add knowledge of God to it. Peter warns us in 2 Peter 3, verse 18, "Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." There's the admonition. In 1 Peter 2, verse 2, he says, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you can grow." Yeah. Don't be satisfied with mere attendance. We never hesitate to encourage Bible class attendance or Bible study. Never hesitate to do that. But we don't want our people, our congregation, to be or have a lack of knowledge of God's word. So we encourage that. In your sacrifice, add knowledge, study of God's word. Number five, the illustration continues. In Psalm 69, beginning of verse 30, "I'll praise the name of God with a song. I'll magnify him with thanksgiving. This also," meaning we're going to add something to our sacrifice, "this also shall please the Lord better than an ox or a bullock that has horns and hoofs." Something better. You want the people to sacrifice? Yes. Put that animal on the altar. That's the law. That's old Moses, Old Testament law. But give praise the name of God and magnify him with thanksgiving. That's better than just the animal sacrifice. In Psalm 116, verse 17, "I'll offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving." We'll call upon the name of the Lord. In the Old Testament, yes, make the sacrifice of the ox or the goat. Yeah. Oh, but don't forget to praise the name of God. Don't just be saying, I'm here at the altar. Oh, that's finished. Now I'll just go. No. When you go, you make your praise to God. You give God thanks. I'll offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving. We need to do the same thing today. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, it says, by him, meaning by Jesus, therefore let's offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Don't be satisfied with just a one-time event. I'll offer continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. There's a lot of sacrifices we can make. But don't forget thanksgiving. Thank you. Thank you. Number six in your notes. The list continues in Psalm 51. You desire not sacrifice, or else I'd give it. You delight not in burnt offering. Sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you'll not despise. Oh, they were too satisfied with just giving that lamb or that oxen. The lambs and the flocks were an easy offering. I want you to have a broken heart. God says, I want you to have a contrite heart. Don't give God an easy offering. Remember Micah's words in Micah 6, verse 6? What does God require of you? Do justly. There's an action involved, not just that animal sacrifice in the Old Testament on the altar. No, I want you to do justly. I want you to love mercy, and I want you to walk humbly with your God. James chapter 4, verse beginning of verses 5, says God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Walk humbly with your God. And the last one from our text that was read to us, that Old Testament story, 1 Samuel 15, verse 22, a little review. Samuel the prophet says to King Saul, as the Lord has great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Good question, isn't it? You don't even need to take that to heart. Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offering and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Then Samuel the prophet closes out. He makes his conclusion. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. Some people, even in our world today, are content with just their own personal sacrifice to God. They're going almost with the attitude, God, you ought to be satisfied with what I'm presenting to you. God, I'm doing it my way because it's so heartfelt and it's my desire. I want to please you or praise you, and I'm doing that, but I know you require this over here, and I've heard the requirements. I've listened to the preacher and the Bible class teacher. I know that's over there, but this seems so right. Samuel, that's the way Saul was. Saul, it just seems right. You know, I brought back all this spoil. I brought back this so that I can sacrifice to God. And Samuel said, oh, to obey is better than sacrifice. Saul had good intentions, but it wasn't pleasing to God. It was pleasing to him. In verse 13, Saul said to Samuel, blessed be thou of the Lord. I perform the commandment of the Lord. And that's what people think too. I want to worship God my way. And they think that's the commandment of the Lord. That God will, God's love. He'll be okay with the way I'm doing it. The way I'm presenting my worship, the way I'm presenting my life to him. God will be pleased with that. Surely he will. In the verse 15, King Saul said, we spared the best of the sheep and the oxen, to sacrifice to God. And the rest we've utterly destroyed. You know, was it just God? You said to destroy this and that. We did the most of it. We did the majority of your command. But we brought back King Agag. We brought back this other spoil to make sacrifice. Then he gives the verdict in verse 28. Behold, to obey, that's better. That's better than sacrifice. So the conclusion was, the Lord has taken away the kingdom of Israel from you, Saul, this day. I thought, Saul may have said, I thought I was doing right. Behold, I thought. Then Saul reaches the conclusion in verse 30. Saul said, I've sinned. It wasn't right to worship God his own way. Good intentions. Meant well. Sacrifice. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. Today, God still puts a high value on exact obedience. You don't change his will. You don't change his requirements for us in the way that we worship, in the way that we have our sins forgiven, in the way we treat one another. No matter how sincere, no matter how well-intentioned, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. Jesus said in John 8, verse 30, the verse says, and he, meaning Jesus, spake these words. Many believed on him. Oh, that's a good thing. Oh, that's good. You believe. Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then... It's conditional. Then are ye my disciples indeed. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Yeah. Can't believe just by itself. There's a continuation in God's word. In James 1, verse 25, he looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein. Don't be a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word. This man shall be blessed in his deed. You do it God's way. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. Seven things that are listed in your notes, better than sacrifice. Does God desire sacrifice? Yeah. Absolutely. Should we attend in our worship assembly? Yes. Should we make our contributions? Yes. Should we offer our prayers? Yes. Shall we involve ourselves in ministry? Yes. But there's just some things better and weightier, meaning put your heart into it. Love what you're doing. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. First and greatest commandment. That's the best you can be. Don't take one to the exclusion of the other. Always at the closing lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. In the last words of Jesus before he ascended back to the Father, Matthew records it in Matthew 28, beginning of verse 18. All authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. All authority. Listen up. Go into all the world. Teach or make disciples of all nations. How? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Mark records it in Mark 16, beginning of verse 15. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Peter records it in Acts chapter 2, and after Jesus had ascended back to the Father 10 days later at the Feast of Pentecost, 50 days after the Passover. Peter has the devout Jews from every nation. He preaches a gospel, a good news message unto them, but first he accuses them In Acts chapter 2, beginning of verse 20, he says, "You by wicked hands have slain, crucified the Son of God." In verse 36, he says, "This Jesus whom you crucify," he says it again, "he's made both Lord and Christ." Yeah. When they heard that, oh, they're cut to the heart. They cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do? You know, we're guilty as charged. We crucified the Christ. We've murdered the Messiah. Is there any hope for us?" Yes, there is. He said, "Repent and be," he answered their question, "repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Because to you is the promise, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." With many other words, he testified, he exhorted them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked or untoward generation." Those that gladly received his word in verse 41 were baptized. They were added unto them in that day about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching, the breaking of bread and prayers. In verse 47, it says, "The Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." Who were being saved? Back in verse 41, those who gladly received his word were baptized. If you've not done that already, you have that opportunity. We sing this song of encouragement, this song of invitation. Whosoever will may come. If that's your desire, that's your resolve, you have that opportunity this morning. Let's stand and sing this hymn of invitation and encouragement. It's number 912. Need to respond in a public way? Just simply do so. We're singing this song.